All right. Thank you, Mikhail. That's good. Amen.
Amen.
That's a good old truth there. Only a few million years in heaven, we'll just begin to catch up a little bit with what that song was saying. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to open your Bibles tonight. Very familiar portion. You're going to hear it until you almost get tired of it this time of year. That's Luke chapter 2. If you go to any of the special Christmas programs, they have a play and they have a Bible reading almost all the time. It'll come from Luke chapter 2, and we've got to the place we call it the Christmas story, and I guess that's okay. Most of you know that Luke, the gospel according to Luke, presents the truth of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. He's called the Son of Man, God incarnate in the flesh, born of a woman, as the Bible says, as Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And each gospel presents Jesus in a different way. Some present him as, Luke here presents him as the Son of Man, and he's presented as the King. And we just, in Matthew, and we recognize that each gospel, while they do not contradict, like the liberals say, they give us more detail and a bigger picture. And I can't get off into that. It's a tremendous reason that you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John telling the story. Anyway, Luke chapter 2, familiar portion. I was reading a little bit in it this afternoon. I'm impressed in one, of course, I'm always impressed every way with the Bible, but in a particular way, how that when Christ came the first time, it changed the world. When he comes the second time, it's going to change the world.
Amen.
Amen. And amazing how the parallels between the two comings fit. Actually, how one pictures the other, how the first coming, in a sense, pictures the second coming. And you see that. Nothing special tonight, just a few little, read through it a little bit and some comment about it, see how pertinent it is to even our day and time that we live now. It's a yearly story. And we recognize that. Now, starting in chapter 2 and verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Don't you notice? I've got it underlined here. All the world should be taxed. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." Every little kid that was ever in a Christmas program had to memorize some of this. But there's some real truth here. Don't let the familiarity sometime of a scripture block you out of a blessing because you say, well, you know, everybody knows John 3:16. I wish everybody did. I wish they understood it. You know, so don't ever let the familiarity of a passage block you out from the blessing. New versions now like to change this, and they got a satanic motive behind a lot of it. Money is a big motive, but sometimes they got other reasons also, especially when it comes to the deity of Christ and so forth. New versions will generally come in on this area here, and they'll change this tax into registration or to census. No, it was a tax. And I don't know, ever since there was a government, I guess there was taxes, and ever since there has been taxes, people have hated them, amen? And in fact, Matthew himself was a publican. You know what that means? He was sitting at the seat of custom. He was a tax collector. He was not well thought of by the general population. All kind of things on that, but I was sure glad Bible says when he met Jesus, he left that stuff. He left that seat of customs and went to follow the Lord. Amen. That'd fix all the tax problems if people would follow the Lord. Anyway, don't get over the thing here that Christmas doesn't have a message for us. You know, Satan don't want you to connect something here when he changes the version. When it comes to taxes, if you'll hold your place and promise to come back to it now, I'll let you go over to Daniel chapter 11. And there's some verses there that fit right up to date to where we at today in this old world. Most of you know there's an evil ruler coming. We know him as the Antichrist. And he's got his picture taken for us in the Bible in so many places. Satan don't want you to know that. I think he's probably alive and well on planet Earth today. May not know who he is himself, but Satan knows who he is. In Daniel chapter 11, pick up something as current as your newspaper today. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Something bad going to happen to him. But you say, well, that's good. Well, the next verse makes it worse. Verse 21, in his estate shall stand up a vile person. If the other one was not bad enough, this one's going to be worse. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now here we got a current verse here dealing with taxes, dealing with peace, dealing with somebody that's going to come in on propaganda, under flatteries. All of this business is pictured for us right here. If you want to see his picture a little bit better, you'd have to go to the book of Revelation and pick it up in chapter 6. And you're familiar with, all the world literature is familiar with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, the apocalypse means nothing more than the revelation. It is the revelation. Apocalypse is a big word to help you understand, have folks understand you're educated. Amen? Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now notice, he had a bow, but he didn't have any arrows. This is the first of the horsemen here. He is not the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's followed here by war and by famine and by death. No, this is the Antichrist. But he's going to come in with a bow with no arrows. He's coming in peace. He's probably going to get voted in by the nations of the world. And he's going to be accepted. And so he's the one that we're still getting the picture of in several places in the book of Daniel. If I went back to Daniel again and asked you to drop on down from the verses we read in chapter 11, we read verses 20 and 21. Jump on down to verse 24, Daniel 11. And he shall enter peaceably, same terminology, even upon the fattest places of the province. He shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. Going way back now, here's what he's going to do. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. Here's a fellow going to come in like Santa Claus. He's going to come in giving away everything. And that's exactly what is a description that the Antichrist will come in. We've had hear a lot of talk today about the freebies and about the entitlements and about all that. And we are apparently at an economical pit right now in even America. But hey, as bad as America is in a mess, much of the rest of the world worse. Europe's worse and so forth. Now, I don't want to get off on that too much, except to say, as we notice the first coming of Christ, what did we just discover here? The whole world was being taxed at his first coming. At his second coming, the whole world is going to be taxed. Amazing how it fits. First coming, there was a Roman dictator. You read it here in verse 1, chapter 2. I just read it. Caesar Augustus. All the world. He was the ruler. He was the dictator. And when Jesus comes a second time, there's going to be a world dictator on the scene, or right ready to take over the scene. Now, I think about this a little bit. Here's the culmination of what Daniel saw in chapter 2 when he had the dream. Remember the dream he had in Daniel chapter 2? He dreamed, we generally think of him as a Roman soldier. Remember the statue, the image of a man. Remember he had a head of gold. He had breast and arms of what? Silver. And then he went on down to the mid-waist of brass, and finally to the legs of iron. And the two legs of iron, and Rome, by the way, that's who it was, Rome was. head of gold was Babylon, and then the silver kingdom, kingdom of the Medes and Persians, then the brass kingdom of Alexander the Great. All that's history, but Daniel rode ahead of time. That's what makes folks mad at the book of Daniel. They try to dodge the Bible being the inspired word of God and supernatural, but they can't do it when it writes history in advance. And so history in advance takes us to the Roman kingdom, the legs of iron, but I want you to notice the two legs, the eastern and western division of Rome, just like history tells us, those two iron legs went all the way down into the feet, to the ground, all the way. The gold was replaced by the silver. The silver was replaced by the brass, but the iron's never been replaced. The two legs just go right on down to the ground, into the 10 toes, and in the 10 toes there's a mixture of clay and iron, and they don't bind, they don't stick long. You might get clay on your shovel, but it's not a permanent thing, amen? And what we have today, we're living in the 10 toes. We're living in the nations being divided up, and some are strong and some are weak. They do not adhere to one another. They do not stick. And we're at the place now to where no matter how strong the statue was or the image was, its weakness is its feet. And we're living in the time of the feet. We're living in a time when Daniel saw a stone cut out without hands coming out of heaven. You and I know who the stone was. It's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the smiting stone, it's called. And where does it hit the image? Not on the head. Didn't come in the days of Babylon. Not in the arms and chest of the Medes and Persians. Two arms, Medes and Persians. No, not even in the days of Alexander. But the smiting stone comes down at the feet and hits the statue on the feet. Any football player can tell you when there's a big guy got the ball running, you don't try to hit him high, you hit him low. You hit him in the feet, if you can, and the whole thing will come down. And Jesus is coming back as a smiting stone. He's going to bring all the kingdoms of the world down. It's going to be a pile, going to be a heap of them when he deals with them. Now, that's a picture that you see in the Bible. Now, the truth that we need to understand here is that there has been a Roman Empire. It stretches on down through the legs into the mixture we have today, even in Washington, D.C., when we have Congress meeting up there. We have a House of Representatives. We have the Senate. We are patterned very much after Rome. And if you go to Washington, D.C. and look around at all the cuttings and carvings and the buildings and so forth. In fact, if you got off of a spaceship for Mars and you went to Washington, D.C. on a you know, senior day or something, if you went there for the first time, you'd think you were in a pagan country when you look at all that imagery up there. Oh, yeah, they got the Ten Commandments on the Supreme Court, but carved out, but they got all kind of hideous beasts and other images carved here and there. Yeah, that's a copy after Rome. Did you know that? Several of the buildings and so forth, and I don't get off into that, except to say we're living in the days of what Bible students call the revived Roman Empire. And we think about it in Europe as we think about the European common market, as we think about the euro, the money that they trade in now. All this was prophecy that has come and is now current fulfilled. And so that's the time we're living in. We're not living in the head of gold or the arms of silver. We're living in the mixture of the iron and clay and the feet. We have a group, I like to call them the United Nuts, but it's the United Nations. And they are represented well by the 10 toes. And what a mess they are. What a poor mixture they are. How supposed to be united, but they're not so much united. They're just trying to take over the world, and it's moving fast and coming very fast. I think most of you know that. Now, when Christ came the first time, there was one universal language, and I've heard a lot of Bible studies preachers make a big fuss. Oh, yeah, the world was united. Now they were all speaking Greek. Uh-huh. Now, when he comes back, it'll be pretty well a one-world language. It won't be Hebrew or Greek. It's going to be English. And English is pretty well spread around the world. You can hardly find a country that would not, if they have a school system at all, they teach English. And a lot of our missionaries have gotten into foreign countries under the guise to go in and be a school teacher teach it English. You can get into China. You can actually go over and sign a contract that if you'll teach English in their schools, they'll let you preach. They'll let you do some missionary work. Now, I understand they have strings on it, but that's the way many are getting into so-called Iron Curtain communist countries. And so the one language when Jesus came the first time was Greeks, was Greek. Yes, it was in Greece, and I know you can put a little spin on it, Koine Greek and all that kind of stuff, but that was basically the one world religion. In fact, when he comes this time, there'll be one world language, English, and that's good, because you know God knew the future. That's why the King James Version has gone all over the world as God's word in English. It's still the bottom line, the standard, the yardstick, if you please, all across this world. If you go into China or someplace to teach English, you'll find out the King James Bible will be a great help as your textbook. It was a textbook in the earliest schools in America. And God has spread it around. And the ones that have gotten away from it, I'm sad to say, but America has led the way away from it in their intellectualism, but it's still the yardstick. In fact, if somebody, and they probably have, they come out with a new so-called translation every time you turn around, but they always have to measure it by the King James Version. You can't hardly see an advertisement on a new version without it making some reference to the King James. And they lie about it a lot. Well, it's just the King James, you know, with a few improvements. No, no, no. If I got something perfect, how can I improve on it? If God's already proved he accepted it, who am I to second guess God? See? And God has used it down through our history. And I've had this experience so many times. I've told you this before, but I just thought of it again. I don't want to forget it. And if I keep retelling it, I'll never forget it. You understand? A little slack. You cut me there. Amen. Sonia and I took a vacation. She can't remember it. It's been so many years ago. But we actually did. Somebody in the church here might be here tonight, had a rental place that they could let us have. It was off season and so forth. And so we went over for a few days over here on the East Coast. And on Sunday morning, we thought we knew where we were going to church, but we couldn't find it. And it was getting to be church time. Finally, a few minutes late, we stopped in a big church, Baptist church, Southern Baptist church. I know where it is. Did know the pastor before he had left it. Many of you know he went up and took the church in Memphis, Tennessee, where R.G. Lee used to pastor. What, I'm losing my mind on what name of it is right now. But anyway, he had pastored over there, and I knew under him it was a good, strong church. And so when we kind of accidentally saw the sign it, we went to it. And come in the back, and it was a pretty good size auditorium. Come in the back, the man was teaching Sunday school. And in a few minutes, I spotted he was not reading from the King James Bible. And I looked in the pew where they keep the songbooks, just like we do here. And they had a pew Bible. How many of you have been in a place where they got a Bible? That's good and bad. It's good if somebody don't have a Bible. It's bad that folks don't bring their own Bible. But anyway, I spied the Bible in there with the songbook, so I pulled it out, opened up the page, and it was an ASV, American Standard Version. By the way, if you look at the equipment when you go in the restroom, that's where the ASV belongs.
Amen. Amen.
You ever look at that? Do you ever look at that? Somebody don't know what I'm talking about. The sink and the commode in the restrooms generally American standard. Check me out. Here, other places. Now, somebody don't like that, and I could just care so much about that. I probably won't sleep tonight if I offended somebody. Amen. I'll sleep good as I never ever sleep. Let me get back. You got me off there. Anyway, we're in the pew at the back of this church, and I pulled the Bible out. I wanted to see what kind it was. I had mine, but I wanted to see what. I opened it up, and it said ASV, American Standard Version. And that's not the worst one, not near as bad as some of them come out later, but It's bad everywhere it differs from the King James.
Right.
Anyway, I opened it up in the fly leaf like this, saw what it was, and some kid, I'm sure it was a kid, had opened up just like I had. And they had written right in the front of it, "What's the matter with this church? Isn't the old KJV good enough?" That's what happened. My wife's back there, and you ask her. I pointed it out to her. She said, "Do you understand the mathematical odds of us coming to a city, to a church we did not intend to come to, and to walk in, and there's probably 1,000 seats in that auditorium, and you sat in the very one that had the Bible in front of you, the very one that somebody wrote that in?" I said, "Honey, that's no accident. God's still on the throne." It is amazing. But I said to her, I said, "He's reading," I think it was the NIV he was reading, might have been the ASV. He was reading one that was not King James. I said, "Now, when he starts preaching later," because he was reading, teaching Sunday school. I said, "When he starts preaching later, and he gets in that fast tongue, and maybe the Holy Spirit's saying some things through him, and his mind and heart jumps on a scripture, and he quotes it," I said, "you watch what he quotes. It won't be the ASV. It won't be the NIV. It'll be the King James." That's the one the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. You hardly ever hear anybody, you hear a lot of paraphrasing going on, but you'll hardly ever hear anybody quote word for word any other version than the King James. So when Christ comes back, it'll be a one world language. It'll be English, and that's fast right where we're at now. I mean, very much where we're at right now. And interesting, when Christ came the first time, do you know that he appeared as a baby? I know, born in Bethlehem, but think about it. His first appearance was not to the king in the palace. It was not to Herod. It was not to the elite. It was not the top university of the day. Where did he first appear? To the lowly folks, to the shepherds. And finally, in the little town of Bethlehem, born in a manger. Now, the manger has been changed to a cave. It's been changed to this, that, and the other. Truth is, the manger itself was a feed trough. A feed trough. I've heard jokes about babies being born and having to sleep in a dresser drawer. Well, the manger not much bigger than a good-sized dresser drawer. And that's really where he was. Now, maybe it was in a barn. Maybe the cave was a barn, or the barn was a cave. I don't know. But he came down low when he came. He had the shepherd's attention. And he had, later on, maybe when he's 2 years old, here come the wealthy men, the wise men, and I don't want to get off into that. But he was in a house by that time. But when he was in a manger, he had the shepherds came. He appeared to them. Now, later on, after some teaching and preaching, he goes to John the Baptist and gets publicly baptized. He came to the believing shepherds, to the low folks first. Then he made his public appearance, and you remember, it was pretty big when a voice came from heaven and all that identified him at his baptism. From that point on, he had a very, very public ministry. Do you understand, when Jesus comes the next time, he's only going to appear to those that were low enough in heart to receive him as Savior?
That's right.
He's going to come to believers.
Yeah.
We call it the rapture.
Right.
I'm so excited how soon it must be for the Lord to come. And so, just like he came the first time, he appeared once to the shepherds and to the lower folks that believed on him. But then he made a public appearance. He was baptized, and his ministry became somewhat public, and they began to hate him big from that point on. But when he comes the next time, he'll secretly come in the rapture to those that believe on him and love him. But then in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, he's coming back, and he's coming back publicly. He's coming back in His glory. He's coming back when all the world will see Him. He's coming back when the armies of the United Nations have gathered to stop Him from coming, to fight Him. You see what's happening right now in the news. The UN is trying to take over the world. And we are already in America feeling the pinch from putting all the world together. Just like the whole world, as we read in the verse here, the whole world was to be taxed. We'll call that an international tax because that's what's coming now. The UN now, right now, is trying to bring in a universal tax. When we deal with the internal revenue now, we call them the internal revenue. Why? Because they're national. They're America. I hate to say it, but they are IRS. They are, if I get that right, they are our IRS. But can you get used to saying international IRS? Because that's about what's happened. Now, I'm hearing a bell or a buzzer, and I don't hear all that sharp, but if you're playing a game over there, I hope God hits you with lightning in His house. If you can find the off switch, turn it off. Show a little respect, like these signs we got on the wall says. And again, if you don't like that, that door lets you out. Now listen to me. We are in a time when the United Nations is trying to bring in the world kingdom of the feet and image of Daniel, when the iron and the clay don't mix. But that's where we're at. When the smiting stone, that's not His coming in secret. The smiting stone is not the rapture. The smiting stone is Revelation 1:7 when He comes back in His glory and everybody can see Him. But they're not going to want to see Him. Because Revelation 19 tells me His eyes are going to be like a flame of fire. He's coming back in judgment. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Not a lamb to be offered, but a lion to conquer. Coming back to take over the world that He created. Coming back against the enemies of Israel that have gathered to finally totally destroy them. And if you don't see that happening right now, you're not even reading the newspaper. Much less the news. Through the UN right now, they didn't only vote in the Palestinian state to take over, to be on top of Israel, and that's what they just did, but they also, yesterday, day before, are now trying to pass a resolution to ask Israel, make Israel, to expose their atomic weapons. Did you see that? Now, Israel's not going to do that. The one thing Israel has that's caused them to be able to survive this long is the fact they did have the bomb. And now the UN asking them to let their inspectors come in and inspect their nuclear program. The very crowd that's been coddling Iran and Ahmadinejad and all that bad crowd, now all of a sudden, listen, Israel's not going to do that. Now, I'll make you a prediction, and I might be wrong because I can't prove this, but you watch in the next little while, there's going to be a movement to try to go internally into Israel and get Netanyahu replaced with a liberal, because a liberal is going to be the one in Israel that will accept the false peace plan when the Antichrist shows up. That's just Mickey, first verse, second line. All right, but I believe you're looking for something like that. What is going to happen, they've pretty well got Israel encircled now. And all the business with Syria and the using the gas on their own people and all that. What I'm simply saying to you is that the second advent, Jesus is coming in glory after He's first called out His people. I like the fact I'm not going to be here. I'm coming back with Him in an army. I'm not going to be in the heathen army trying to hold Him back. And brother, there's a big difference there. But we're right on the verge right now, UN-wise, of having an international tax. They want America to pay their bills. That's right exactly where we're at. Now, we have a constitution. That constitution really gets in the way of the UN and of all the one world bunch that's trying to bring in the Antichrist kingdom. That Constitution with its First Amendment and so forth. But you see, the way they get by that is to have a treaty with the UN. When our authorities, Congress, President, when they sign a treaty with the UN, the argument is that the treaty usurps or comes above our Constitution. That's what we had better be on guard against. Because when we finally let the UN come in, by the way, Brother Worth Baldwin over there was sharing with me and some of the rest of you, when we have these gun shows where people sell their guns, by the way, that's the biggest business now in America that's prospering, is people getting scared and buying guns, Second Amendment rights and so on. But the UN now is threatening to send in inspectors inside America to go to our gun shows. They're pretty foolish if they do that. In fact, plumb dumb, I think. They better not trust too many folks that go to those gun shows. They might resent them if they find out they're from the UN, amen? All right, I'm just joshing around a little bit. But they're trying to pull that stuff. They're trying to pull treaties to come in and usurp over our American rights that we've had ever since we had a constitution. Well, let's look at something else. Verse 2, I've kind of skipped around. Verse 2. The taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Syria in the news today. This fellow Cyrenius, under Caesar Augustus, under Rome here, of course. Now, the skeptics said the Bible was wrong when it said Cyrenius, because they say you try to say that the birth of Christ, and this is scholarship again, was about 4 B.C., and Cyrenius didn't come on the scene and have this taxing decree for the whole world until 10 A.D. Well, that'd be, 14 years difference. Maybe 15, counting the 0 and 1. But anyway, it's amazing how when they get to studying and finding and digging in the archaeological pits, they found out Cyrenius was governor twice, not once. Yes, he did govern in 10 A.D., but he also governed in 4 B.C. And we've seen folks elected twice or appointed twice, so it shot the skeptics between the eyes again. And so here the Bible is very accurate. He brings in a world tax. I wonder who inspired him to do that. Well, first it came from headquarters in Rome, but Satan was playing a game. Think about it with me a minute. The Bible says in Micah 5:2 that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, right? You don't think the devil knew that? He knows his Bible better than a lot of us do. You know that? And so here in Nazareth sets out a husband and young wife who is very, very expecting. Do you understand Mary had to ride a mule, very pregnant, for 100 miles? Try that one. From Nazareth to Bethlehem, about 100 miles, rough terrain, and here is this pregnant mother riding a mule. Now, Satan would have loved for her to have that baby at the 50-mile mark, or even the 80-mile mark, as long as it didn't fulfill the scripture. But the scripture he knew said in Micah 5:2, Bethlehem. You see, there's been a tug of war between God and the devil from the garden on. And big part of that is the fulfillment of what God has written in this book that the devil hates. And so here is Mary riding a mule to make it to Bethlehem. And guess what? She makes it. Most of us would have not wanted our wife to ride a Cadillac 100 miles when she was that close. But she rode a mule, and God had to be in that, amen? Look at verse 7 right here in the text. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. How many folks have memorized that? My kid on up. No room in the inn. At his first coming, no room. World had no room for him at his first coming. If they had their way, there'd be no room for him at his second coming. That's why the United Nations will gather out there, and there'll be in the Battle of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon will take place, but it'll take place because they're going to resent the coming of Jesus Christ back to take control. That seems a little hard to understand, but hey, they have no room from him when he was born. They had no room for him. They got no room for him now, and they won't have no room for him then. And if you don't think they don't have any room for him today, you're not keeping up with things. There is an attack, there is a warfare today against Christianity that is unbelievable. We're moving to Christmas time again, and there'll be a fight over whether you can say Merry Christmas or you got to say Happy Holidays. Amazing. Now, I will say this. The liberals played the fool when they attacked Christmas. Now, you and I know there's a bad pagan side to Christmas, but I've kind of been willing to shelve that just for the fact that that's not a good statement. Well, I won't say it anyway. They put their foot in it when they mess with Christmas. That's all there is to it. Because the world that don't know Jesus as Savior, don't know any Bible or know anything else, brother, they worship Christmas. And so I'm kind of glad it backfired on them. And so I'll pat my foot when Bill O'Reilly or somebody else gets them by the ears over Christmas. So they might have messed up, but did you see the letter this week that they wrote to Congress, the atheist clubs wrote to Congress, to try to stop them from having the prayer coalition meeting that they have, to stop the Congress from being open with prayer? Oh, yeah. The prayer focus up there, I'm not getting the word for it. The prayer group, there's over 100 in the Congress that's members of that prayer group, over 100. And they're pretty faithful with it. So these atheists now are attacking that. Of course, it's on the basis of taking off our corns, In God We Trust. They don't like that. So they got that in the letter also, I believe. But anyway, what are they saying? They're saying we have no room for Jesus. No more than they did at the first time he came. They'll have no room for him at the second time he comes. So I see those parallels very, very real. I look at verse 7 here, and it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son." Now there's a religion, Catholicism, that teaches that Mary was immaculate. She never had any other children. But notice the text, firstborn. Firstborn tells you if one was first, there must have been a second, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and there was. So how you know? Well, because I believe the Bible. Because I believe the Bible. Turn over and look at it if you want to. It's close. Just go back to your left and pick up Mark chapter 6. And you can get a roll call on the family that Jesus had. Amen? Amazing to me how the Bible messes up traditional religion. Mark chapter 6. She was not the Immaculate Conception. She was a mother and a wife, and she had kids following Jesus. He was the firstborn, and Joseph was not his earthly father. The Holy Spirit was. But picking it up here, some folks are questioning concerning Jesus. On the Sabbath day, he's teaching. People were astonished. And here's what they ask in verse 3. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and of Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it tells you he was the firstborn. But after that, he had brothers and sisters, and you can find that in other places in the Bible. Well, then why does the New Versions take out firstborn here in verse 7 where we were in Luke chapter 2? Because they want to bow to a doctrine that says he didn't have brothers and sisters. I found this, though, when folks attack the Bible, they forget a place. They tear it out here and they forget it somewhere else. They tear it out there and they forget it comes up somewhere else, because God traps them that way. That's the way he does. And we'll see Satan attacking every way he can, and there'll be some stir over Christmas again and over whether somebody can say Merry Christmas and so on. But the whole truth is the world's saying to the Lord Jesus, "We don't want you. We didn't want you the first time. We don't want you the second time." And that's going to become more and more apparent. The sad truth is that we've had a couple of generations now grow so far away from Bible truth until they're fooled by just anything. I saw a stat in a paper, and it's taken a long time ago. I say a long time ago, I don't know, 20 years. But what we're into now has been building for years and years and years. And I think it's getting close to a peak, but it's been building. But we have a generation, we have more than a generation, maybe two, that are so far moved from Bible truth till they don't recognize error anymore. And what I saw in a stat was this. In a college, I don't know why folks think they're going to find smarts in a college, but they go to the college to make these, take these polls, and the questionnaires are passed out. And they passed out one, and they, you've had this. It's like, it's called a response test. How many know what I'm talking about, a response test? All right, they'll give you a word and see what your first response is to it. So here's a class of 45 students in a college. They were given a response test. And we're going to give you a word. You write down the first thing that reminds you of, first thing you think of when you get the word. And that's the way the game's played. This particular stat, this particular class had 45 in it in the university. And they gave the students the word Christmas. Write down. Well, they wrote down reindeer, snow, Santa Claus, toys. Not one out of 45 wrote down Christ or Jesus. Isn't that something? 45? You see, we've been so far removed, the world wasn't ready for him when he came the first time, and they're not going to be ready for him the second time. But he's coming. The greatest Christmas I could think of would be for the trumpet to blow, and let's just get on up there with him, and then we'll join him when he comes back publicly to shock the world, because he's going to take his throne and he's going to rule and reign. And in the truest sense of the world, that will be Christmas when Jesus is king. Amen? Amen. And when he takes over this whole planet. In the meantime, today, you and I shouldn't be blind to the fact that everything is in place for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. The international one world government is just being formed in every news article you see, and they're not forming to put Jesus on the throne. It'll be a false Christ that sits on the throne. And there was a false ruler sitting on the throne when Jesus came the first time by the name of Herod. And there was a false kingdom. The whole world could be taxed anywhere that Rome had an army strong enough to collect, they could tax. And we're getting to the place, you say, I won't pay those taxes. You will when they come. And in this day and time right now, if you saw a little clip of the news somewhere in the last day or two, they're now talking about how your TV it can spy on you. While you watch it, it can watch you. Husbands and wives, you ought to be on good behavior. All right, I'm joking with you some. Listen, in the meantime, give the Lord Jesus Christ the praise and the glory.
Amen.
His plan is on schedule. Nothing is shocking God, as we heard in the mission conference this week. God's still in charge. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand, please. Brother Cruz, you want choir practice? Choir practice, getting ready for Sunday. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank